Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
All this foolishness about adding anything to what Jesus did for us and our salvation is just that. It's foolishness. The work is finished. The high priest is seated right now. He's not going to do anything else. His plan is in action. It's working. We know it because when we get saved, we know now we have a high priest seated in glory. Oh, he left his place. He would become the second Adam. You know, the first one, he sure messed us up. Left that old sin nature in the world. Even though we're not born a sinner, we're born in sin. And we have a nature that has to be born again. If we're going to get to heaven, without a born-again nature, you're not going to get there. I'm not going to get there. We have to have it born again. And he would represent all the people. He would take our place. Would carry the burden of lost mankind to an old rugged cross. He would fulfill the law. Thank God we don't have to go back to the law. He would suffer the penalty of that law for our sake. Now just for a minute, let us look at what it cost him. There was a price. There was a price. None of us could pay that price. He was only one that could pay that price for us. And he did it for this particular reason. A new covenant. God knew without a new covenant, we'd be lost. We'd still be trying to keep the law. We'd still be standing in judgment of one another. We'd still be stoning those that we didn't like. Yeah. Under that law, if a child disobeyed his parents, they could take that child out in the street and stone him to death. Wouldn't be very many kids alive today, huh? So Jesus got us out of that old covenant and moved us to a covenant of grace that he said is sufficient for us even when we fail at times. Because where sin doth abound, grace does there much more abound. So he fulfilled the law for us. He suffered the penalty of it. But he paid a price, giving up, as we said, his glorious position in heaven. The psalm says God looked around heaven to see if he could find anyone worthy. But who was worthy? The Revelation, we'll study it later for with Christian lessons. Who was worthy? The Lamb. The Lamb of God. Jesus. The only one worthy. So the price was great for him. The Bible speaks of Christ and his existence before the incarnation. Yeah. The word Jesus was with God. Book of Genesis, right at the very beginning. In the creation, Jesus, the Word, was with God. He was God. Yeah, that triune Godhead was one in action.
Yes.
The Bible used the plurality when it begins to explain the creation. Let us. Well, how many is us? Well, that's all of us, or that's two of us, or that's three of us. But it's not just one. I told you about the girl that I stopped in. She was a cashier at one of the stations that has the gas out in the restaurant and all that. And I wanted something, I forget what it was, but I asked her for a couple of them. And she looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And she said, "You want what?" I said, "I want a couple of these." I put them on the counter. She said, "Well, what's a couple?" I shouldn't have done it, but I looked her in the eye and I said, "Hun, where'd you go to school?" How old are you? I mean, you got to be 18, 19 years old to work it, and you never heard of a couple? Then I left like that. Bless her heart. Kind of felt sorry for her, to tell you the truth. I know she didn't go to school in Jennings. Or Midland. Or Iota. They know what a couple is, I bet you. Yeah, there's a couple of them that are a couple. Huh? The price of the covenant. The Word, Jesus, was God, and the Word was with God. So he did not become God at the incarnation. He was already God. Now, you can't understand that unless you know how God's grace works. Huh? Not only does he give us salvation, but he gives us an understanding and a knowledge of his word and how the Trinity works and how all the prophets work and how everything works in God's word. Yeah. He was God before the incarnation. He was God during that time, and he was God after that time. And he was and is God for eternity and all eternity past. He paid an awful price on the cross to seal that covenant for us. Jesus was never a sinner. He didn't have to go into hell for 3 days and get saved like some stupid people who are preachers and teachers tell us today. He didn't have to get saved. He never was a sinner.
That's right.
He never was a sinner. What did he get saved from?
That's right.
No. He paid that awful price for us. He bore our sins to the cross. There became our substitute. Took our place. We should have died. But we live. Because there's a new blood covenant for us. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. And then he says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how do we escape that death? How do we escape the wages of sin? There's a new covenant. There's a new covenant that tells us that where sin doth abound, grace does there much more abound. There's a new covenant that tells us he took it all to the cross for you and for me. He nailed all the ordinances of man. Do you know in the Old Testament law, the law in itself was good. God made that law. But along come the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the seas that you could see. And they added over 600 ordinances to the law. Yeah. They stoned people out of the ordinances they made, not the law. And when Jesus went to the cross, the Bible tells us he took those ordinances to the cross with him. Huh? And they no longer exist. And the law was fulfilled because he took that to the cross with him also. And you and I walk in a new covenant. And Jesus could, and he did. You and I have a new covenant. So when we speak of the covenant with Jesus, let us speak lightly. be very careful we don't offend the great work of the new covenant. Because if you offend the covenant, you offend the Lord. You offend God. It cost Jesus his life. We didn't deserve it. The final part of the covenant. That doesn't mean I'm closing. That's just the final part. So hang on a minute. It's just a couple of pages away. Final part of the covenant. What was it? God intended for man to be the final part of the covenant. Covenant wasn't made for the animals. No. The covenant was made for God's creation, mankind. So we become the final part of the covenant with God, the covenant in Christ. Man becomes the final part of it. You see, when we leave this world and enter into the eternal world, we're going to be living the covenant. That which Jesus is, we will become. Amen. An eternal, eternal, glorified body. Now, if you can't comprehend that, I feel sorry for you. Yes. Because you're working for nothing. Yeah. I mean, what are you working for? What are you believing for? What are you praying for if you cannot believe that one day you will have a glorified body with Jesus Christ in eternity? If you're just working for what God can do for you in this world, the Bible says you're of all men most miserable. And you don't have a future in eternity. Man could enter into this covenant by making the choice to accept or reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's it. That's the way you get into this covenant, and that's the way you reject the covenant. And for those who hear the gospel, the truth of God's word, and refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, those are responsible for the rejection of this covenant. Whoa. Yeah, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have rejected the covenant and you no longer can claim access to all the promises. If you don't believe Christ can heal you while you're young and supple, then how are you going to believe that Christ can heal you when you're old and crippled? No. You're going to do a last minute or last deathbed confession, and I believe God hears those, and I believe God answers those if they're genuine. But I believe most of them are done out of fear. And the Lord doesn't save you out of fear. Whether you're sick or well or dying, he doesn't save you out of fear. No. He saves you through this covenant. This covenant has to be lived in Christ Jesus. Remembering this covenant is God's covenant, bought and paid for with the blood of his Son, sealed with that blood, and nothing, can break it. Now we need to clarify that, because Romans 8:35 asks this question: who can separate us from the love of God? In other words, who can break this covenant? Now, Romans 8:39 answers that question. He says, nothing can separate us or break God's covenant. Break God's covenant. There's the key. That is God's covenant. We make a covenant with God's covenant. And the verses in between list all the things that would try to break God's covenant. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other creature cannot break God's covenant. The only thing not listed there is man's own choice. All of these other things cannot break God's covenant, and man and his choice cannot break God's covenant, but man and his choice can break his covenant with God. That's why we need to take and tread lightly on this covenant. Be careful we don't break the covenant. God will never break his covenant. That's why he gives us every opportunity and forgives us every time we sin or do something wrong or make mistakes. He forgives us. Why? Because that's part of his covenant. But not us. We're not that easy to forgive and forget. Are we? Don't say amen. Don't say nothing. That's a question for each one of us to answer. Huh? That's a question for each one. Not to be judging someone else. So most Christians readily admit that they cannot keep all of the covenant because they go back to the Ten Commandments. They say nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. Most of them don't even know what the Ten Commandments are.
That's right.
I doubt that you could ask 9 out of 10 Christians, believers, who could tell you the Ten Commandments. Some of them don't even know the first one. Well, what does the first one say? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. A little g, gods. Thou shalt have no other God. How many gods do we put before? Ooh. Oh. Money. Fame. Fortune. Our own self-interest. When we pray, God bless me. And my children, us four and no more. It has commandments for us to follow. Really don't know what the commandments are. Well, people say we can't keep the Ten Commandments. Well, you don't have to. Now, that's a strange statement for a preacher to make. But I'm going to prove it to you. I've always learned a long time ago, you don't ever ask a question you don't know the answer to. Come on. You learned that in school, huh? You got to know more than those kids. Don't ask those kids a question that you don't know, because they're going to tell you what it is. You don't ever do that. And so what we understand is that the world says no one can keep all the commandments, but I tell you, you don't have to. All you have to do is keep number 11 and 12. Oh, well, what are they? Well, when you go home today, find Matthew 22 and read verses 36 through 40. You know what they say? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your believing, with everything, love the Lord thy God. And if you can do that, you don't have to keep the other 10. Because you're going to keep them in the love of God.
That's right, amen. That's good.
Oh, that's the one I like. But wait, there's another one. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, on these two commandments, lay or hinge all the law and the prophets. Everything hinges upon those two commandments. You know, I have a hard time filling up churches where I preach. I've had some fill up, but not many. Because I have this philosophy that I believe comes from the Word of God. And whether or not I have a church full or whatever, I believe I have to preach it.
That's right.
Because that's God's principle. And I always tell a congregation, if you come to church for any other reason than that you love God, you might as well stay home.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. See, I didn't make that up. I just told you where to find it. Love the Lord thy God. That's first. Oh, listen, we come and we enjoy the music and we enjoy the worship, and hopefully sometimes we even enjoy the message. But none of it does us any good if we don't love God first. Right? Because that's His word. Love God first. And then love your neighbor as yourself, because on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Ooh. Sad to say, most can't even keep the first commandment. Shall have no other gods. Think about the things that we place in front of loving God. Those things are the little gods that He's talking about. What do we place that's priority number one in our lives? Oh, there are many things that we can name, and we're all guilty. But we have to come back to this principle and this point. All the things we do for ourselves, all the things we gather together. I'm reminded of the story of the rich man. The Bible called him a foolish man. He was a very successful farmer. He had great possessions, and he had great success in farming, and his barns were full of what he had reaped. And his barns were so full, he said, my barns are so full, I guess I'll have to build me some bigger barns to contain it. Bigger barns to hold my blessings. He never thought about maybe giving some of his blessings to somebody who needed it. No. I'm going to build me some new barns and keep me some more and get me some more. But when he went to sleep that night, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him. And you know what he said? This night, or this day, your soul will be required of you. Who's going to build the barns now? See, all that he had reaped, all these hungry people are going to go get it now.
That's right.
But his soul was required of him. Why? Because he loved his barns full of his possessions more than he loved God. Never gave credence to God that the reason he had all that was because God had blessed him to use for the kingdom of God. Here it is. Right here on top, it says closing. If our singers and musicians will come, I told you we'd get to this page if you just stuck with me long enough. We have a problem with children, young people not knowing God's word, because they don't read and they don't study. And the reason they don't read and study is because generally mom and dad don't read and study with them the word of God. Nothing wrong with education. We push our kids to be educated. Great. Got to be educated in this world, make a living. But what do we do about their spiritual life? Do they know what the fourth commandment says? See, the fourth commandment out of the ten is the only one with promise. And it says, children, obey your parents, for this is the first commandment with a promise. What is the promise? If you obey your parents, then you shall have long life. Oh, you don't believe it? Go home and read it. I know nobody said amen, but it's there. And our kids need to know it. Huh? If there's no respect for your parents, how are you going to respect God? Well, that had nothing to do with the closing. I just thought I'd drop that in before. Do what you want with it. As we close, let me ask you this. Let me tell you this. Jesus is the new covenant. And when we enter into this new covenant and better covenant, we are entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in this covenant, we receive all that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. This is why it's important that we understand this covenant, and we understand and enter into his covenant. We did not leave a place in glory. We did not come to the earth as the incarnate God. We did not go to an old rugged cross. We did not rise up on the third day. We did none of these things. None of them. How could this be our covenant? It's only ours as we enter in with Jesus Christ. He is the covenant. Would you stand with us this morning? As we pray, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Your precious word, Lord, that is powerful like a two-edged sword. Cuts asunder, even to dividing of the bone and the marrow. Your word hurts many times. People get angry about it many times. But it stands as the truth. And in that truth, there's a covenant that you have made with us. And we pray, Lord, for strength that we might be led by the Holy Spirit to be able to enter into the covenant with ourselves and what we have to do to be in covenant with you. And as we stand believing and needing and wanting that relationship with you, Lord, let the blessings of God rule and reign in the lives of those believers who stand in covenant with you this morning. For this we praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let us worship the Lord together for a few minutes this morning as our worship team gets us some worship songs together.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend to by my